You're listening to highlights from OTB AM, Off the Ball's new daily breakfast show. It's live every weekday morning from 7:45. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube or Twitter, or listen live at offtheball.com.
We're here at Dance Hill at the launch of UFC 3 from EA Sports. How are you getting on?
I'm good, mate.
We're going to start off with a gaming question first.
Okay.
So you get your copy of the game, you undo the wrapper, you've checked out your own stats and everything. Who's the first fighter that you're playing as and why?
Khabib? Yeah, just because I'm a fan, mate. I'm not going to play myself for the obvious reasons. I just think it's a bit vain. But Khabib, because I'm probably his biggest fan in the UFC, so...
And who's your opponent going to be for that first Khabib fight? I'm sure a lot of our Irish UFC fans would be interested to know.
Maybe Conor or maybe Ferguson. It's either one or the two, innit?
And if it's Conor, what's your strategy going to be?
Take him down. Pressure on. Conor's good, but I think if you put pressure on Conor, he gasses. I think he's got a bit of... If he has got a downfall, I think his downfall's in the cardio department. But yeah, that's what I'd do. But I'd have to watch out for the left hand because I feel like if he plugs it on anyone, they're going to sleep.
Yeah, well, you know, he's circled around 170 every now and then. You're making waves up there yourself. Could you ever see that fight happening?
Yeah, definitely, 1,000,000%.
And what would the approach be?
He wouldn't be able to stand with me, would he, mate? He's good, but...
How long would you give him?
I don't reckon Conor would last more than a round. I really don't. I just... Too big, too powerful, too intelligent. He's a southpaw as well. He's tailor-made. Really good fighter, but I just don't see him coming close to beating me.
Is that something that you visualise? Could you call it a shot, or...?
I don't really visualise Conor at the moment. No one knows what Conor's doing, so he's out of sight, out of mind, sort of. If he comes back, I don't think he'd come to 178, really. I think his weight's lightweight. I think he's going to come back, defend. If he wins, he wins. If he gets beat, I think he'll call it a day. He's done what he's needed to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but on the off chance you get the 170 strap, he looks at the numbers, goes, hey, that fight makes sense. Do you think you'd do the business?
1,000,000%. Conor can't beat me. There is not a hope in hell Conor can beat me. It's just not possible. Where does he beat me? I'm too sharp, too fast, too powerful.
So, too powerful, and he doesn't have the gas, you think?
Not necessarily, just as a relentless wrestler as Khabib, if for an example of Khabib is, first round, Khabib has to be really careful, second round, because I feel like Conor plugs him on with that left hand, he knocks him out. But then you're coming into the third and the fourth, Khabib's still at like the same pressure as he was in the first, and he's going to take you down. The thing is, he doesn't take you down and lie on top of you. It's like he throws you about and he doesn't let go. He's the best wrestler in the UFC, without a doubt.
Yeah, do you think he'll eventually be lightweight champ?
I think he'll be lightweight champ. He might even come to welterweight.
How would you fancy that?
Beat him as well, mate.
What would the strategy be there?
Well, my takedown defence is better than Conor's, and I'm bigger and stronger than Khabib as well. So it's just the same thing, really, mate. And
you've said you see yourself as champ, 170 champ by the end of this year. What's the timeline on that? How many fights do you think you need?
Two. Next fight and then champion.
So you think, say hypothetically, maybe Wonderboy, then next thing?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you think that fight's going to happen?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
1,000,000%?
1,000,000%. Wonderboy needs to accept now. As soon as he accepts, we both sign. Dana makes the fight happen in America somewhere. I fight him. I beat him. And then I wait for Tyron to decide if he's coming back or not. If he doesn't come back, he vacates the belt and he puts it up for me against Colby, Dos Anjos, Robbie, Masvidal, anyone.
Yeah. And you've said before of kind of the guys around the top of the rankings at 170 that they are the two that you think are the most dangerous, Woodley and Thompson. What are the dangers that they both have and how are you going to bypass them?
I just think Thompson's such a clever striker. I think he's so clever in what he does. He's not really a power striker. He's just very clever. He knows how to keep the distance and he knows how to win on points necessarily. Not that he's a boring fighter, but, you know, he's very safe. And I think Woodley's becoming the same. Woodley's such a powerful guy, and he's a really, really impressive wrestler and he's got heavy hands. But still, when I say about them two things, what I've just mentioned, I still don't see where they beat me. Just... looking at the three of us, me, Thompson and Woodley, I am the more superior fighter than the two of them.
Yeah, and in the last week or so, Gunnar Nelson's looking for a fight with you. I saw John Kavanagh was also tweeting about it. Is that off the table, or do you think you're looking upwards, or do you think that could happen?
I don't look upwards or backwards, mate. If there's a fight there, there's a fight. he's coming off a loss. I don't know where he's ranked. I don't care really. If he wants to fight and if the UFC want to make it happen, let's do it.
I think he's 13 at the moment.
There you go then. I don't really care anyway, mate. If he wants to fight, we can fight. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Very good. And so your first pro fight was when you were 15. Is that correct?
Yeah, 15.
So what do you remember from that event, from that kind of experience of going in there for the first time?
I was 15. It was in Scotland. It was in the Greenbank Stadium. The Greenbank Hall, sorry. It was against a guy called John O'Loughley. Was it John O'Loughley? And he was 26, I was 15. And just ended up beating him to death. And then it went from there, didn't it?
Yeah, so what, when you're going in against 26-year-old, is there any bit in your head that's kind of going, you know, what have I got myself into here? Have I ended up here? Or are you just going in there?
No, I like fighting, mate. I really like fighting. I don't really care who it's against. Like, I don't mind getting hurt. Like, I don't mind. Like, a lot of times people say, I'll die in that cage. But do they really mean it? Like, I really mean it. Like, I really deep down mean it. So I don't really care who it's against. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then kind of moving on, say your first MMA match fight in a cage. What age were you when that happened, when you had transitioned over?
I was amateur. I was 17. It was in the Olympiad in Liverpool. I had 4 amateur fights. I won them all. And then obviously I made the move over to Brazil. And then I went professional over in Brazil. And then I came back. So yeah, first MMA amateur. First professional MMA fight was at 20. First professional amateur was at 17. So like a 3-year, you know.
And do you have any particular memories of that night? Or first time being in a cage, had I felt different to a ring?
Yeah, it felt different. I remember the guy, I've got a scar on my head. The guy like gave me a good wallop on the head. And then I just seen red and I was like, oh, we're having it now, son. And then obviously my first professional was in Brazil. And it was against like one of the good guys in the area, and like he was saying, he was going to beat me and that, and I beat him on points. And then you know, just from there, just I can remember vividly every fight I've ever had in my life.
Really?
I just have memories. Yeah, I can near enough remember all the names of the guys I fought, even the guys who beat me. So you know, something like that, a spectacle like that can never leave you. So there's always a vivid memory, you know what I mean?
And when you think about the experience of kind of getting yourself sized up for a fight and making the walk, does that change along the way as a kind of you're working your way up the food chain, or is it always the same?
Not really, it's just business at the end of the day. It's just fighting for something, fighting for what you set out to do. It's like with me, I just don't really care about the pressure or the nerves or the you know, I get scared when I go into a fight, but I just don't care. I block it out and I'm ready to go in and have it. Like, that's how I see it. I just think, let's go, let's have it.
You spoke about your first fight being in Brazil, and kind of for people who aren't familiar with your backstory, can you maybe tell us about how you ended up going from Liverpool to Brazil?
Are you fishing for the real story, or do you just want me to say that I went to Liverpool or Brazil?
I can give,
you have
like
to be more specific.
I can give the 5-second story, but for people who aren't aware of your backstory, you're involved in an incident when you were younger, yeah, when you were stabbed in a nightclub.
Yeah, I wasn't a bad kid or nothing, but like maybe I was involved with the wrong crowd. I don't really know how to explain it to like the casual fan or whatever, but I was training hard, but I was also distracted outside the gym, and I just remember being in a nightclub getting into like a fight and that, what my mates did, and I remember like going over to help out, and like I remember just being in the midst of it all, and before I knew it, like my t-shirt was bred right and everyone was saying I'd been stabbed, but I didn't believe it. I was like, I haven't. And then I remember getting dragged outside the nightclub and, you know, just getting dragged, rushed off to hospital, and then you know, the few weeks of being in hospital, I was on like a life support machine thing type of, because it touched my artery. And then like when I was fully able to leave the hospital and I went back to the gym, I said to my coach, like, oh, well, what should I do now? Like, and he basically told me, like, if you want to be a champion and want to be this great fighter you keep talking about, you know, it's time to like really focus on your career and stop messing about sort of thing. So I said, okay, what do I need to do? And he was like, you have to go to Brazil. They're waiting for you. The lion's den's waiting for you. So I just said, okay, mate, bye.
And was that a tough decision to make, like leaving your life, your family, everything behind?
Not an entity mad, apart from, okay, do I need to go to Brazil? Okay, sounds, I'll go. I didn't care. I don't care.
You've got now Portuguese. What's that like? In a new gym.
It's like being a baby when you're crying for something but you don't know how to speak. It's like, I couldn't speak to anyone. everyone must have just looked at me like a clown, and I don't like that feeling. So, you know, I was like, I'm gonna have to speak their native tongue now, and I did. You know, it took me a few months,
but you got there. And got there. So we're here now, ranked 7 at 170. Along the way, you fought at a UFC fight night in Dublin in 2015. Yeah. What do you remember that experience and that night in?
It was amazing. It was unbelievable. It was my first fight of the night. So I remember, like, you know, that. I remember the fight was a war. You know, I remember just beating him up for 2 rounds. And then, obviously, everyone knows that my shoulder popped in the third. But I don't really like to speak about it. At the end of the day, he beat me up in the third round. So I don't want to, like, I never make an excuse. He won the third round, fair and square. There's no shoulder popping or anything with me. But obviously, people know that's why I had the long layoff, because my shoulder popped. And then I remember, like, Dana said it was... Dana gave a top 8 fight to the 2015. You know, it was fight of the night. It was... The crowd were unbelievable. And it was just boss. It was really good. It was good. Stayed in the Gibson Hotel. We all had an after party in there. It was amazing.
Happy days. Are nights like that part of what motivates you and makes you really want to bring a big show to Liverpool?
Yeah. It's good. It's good to be, like, in the eye, in the centre of attention. But, like... If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, I'm just fighting for greatness, you know. Even if nobody knows and there's no cameras or whatever, as long as I fight for greatness and I know that I was the greatest, that's what really matters.
Which is like, I've heard, there's one quote I heard you were talking on the MMA era. You said that you love the thrill of hurting people and getting hurt. Yeah. Where do you think that comes from? Or?
I don't know. It's like, I like standing in front of another man to decide who's the more powerful person. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's take everything away from us, and let's see who's the more powerful man. Do you know? Who's the more to me, fighting, it's about intelligence. It's not about, like, who's the strongest. Like, I am not the strongest or the biggest puncher, but I'm the most intelligent. So that's why I know I can beat everyone in the world.
And, like, when you're training, how much time do you put into kind of video analysis and breaking down opponents?
In the gym, I like to. Everyone in the gym who knows me, I like to mentally break people. So, like, it's like an ongoing thing with me. Even when we're not training, I'll be planting seeds and saying certain things to get into their head. And they're my training partners, they're my teammates. So, like, I shouldn't be doing that, but it's dog-eat-dog world, you know. In the gym, it's kill or be killed, sort of. I don't like saying them quotes, but it is, you know. Because if someone else wins that belt, are they going to, like, congratulate me for all the hours that... It's not really work like that. We're all teammates, but at the end of the day, the glory's only when I win the belt, not when they win it. Like, I want them all to win a belt and get in the UFC, but it's every man for themselves.
So yeah.
Let's just fucking try and knock each other out. That's what I want to do. And I try to knock everybody out.
And you're obviously a big welterweight, and you've got your eyes on 180.
That's huge, mate.
And, like, I know I've seen you responding to comments of people saying, like, how's this guy who's so big fighting at this weight and talking about, like, oh, is he using PEDs, whatever? Is it frustrating to get that?
No, dude, I'm a donut eater. Like, come and drug test me every day. You ain't going to find nothing. I make the weight clean. There's no cheating going on. So, what you want to say? Listen, at the end of the day, what do they know? They don't know nothing. Like, I never come from no sob story or anything, and I don't like it when people say about it, but they don't know nothing. They don't have to go through that long road. Like, everyone thinks fighting's easy. It's not easy. Like, come and try it if you think it's easy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I have an ongoing joke with my uncle. He's an electrician, and, like, he always says, I couldn't do a day what he does. But 99% of the world couldn't do what I do. That's literally how it is. So, do you know?
Yeah. And so even on the streak, you've been picking up bonuses. It feels like a bit of the weight of the organisation's gotten behind you. They've been giving you a bit of a push. How's your life changed since this has all taken off?
Not, it hasn't really changed. I have not changed my life. Maybe I get noticed more. People, you know, I find it weird. People ask me for pictures and that. But my life will never change. Like, I'm just me, just a little kid from the streets, just trying to do this and that. And I'm not going to change. Nothing will change me. That's just how I am. Life hasn't changed.
You've been listening to a highlights podcast from OTBAM. If you want to watch us live, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube every morning from 7:45 a.m.